This is Straight Out of Vegas.
Straight Out of Vegas!
With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell.
Pay that man his money.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Live from the Vegas Strip, the pregame show America has always wanted. With RJ Bell out, here's Bernie Fratto.
You know, in 63 days, at 7 p.m. Eastern, from Camping World Stadium in Orlando, Florida, the Miami Hurricanes will face off against the Florida Gators. And you know what that means? The 2019 college football season will officially be underway. And according to William Hill Sportsbook here in Las Vegas, the Florida Gators are currently a 7.5-point favorite. It's time. Tonight, we're devoting the full show to our college football extravaganza. That's right. Summertime is the right time to talk college football. Oh, my God, did I just say that? On that note, welcome back to another edition of Straight Out of Vegas. RJ Bell is on reconnaissance. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. So visit geico.com for a free rate quote. This is the weekend edition of Straight Out of Vegas. You know, Straight Out of Vegas airs Monday through Friday right here on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Channel 83. From 3 to 4 Pacific, 6 to 7 Eastern, with RJ Bell, Steve Fezzik, Brad Powers, and Jonas Knox. And regardless of the season, know this, as RJ Bell says daily, we promise to deliver the Vegas truth to you every Saturday night. This is Straight Out of Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. We are joined tonight by the man with the college knowledge. He's a walking supercomputer of college football. So pack your lunch and jump on board with us tonight. Say hello to Brad Powers. Brad, thanks for coming in tonight.
Appreciate it, Bernie. It's a little late for my taking, but I'll tell you what, when it's talking college football, we could do it at 3:30 in the morning.
Well, we might just do that, Brad, so hold that thought. What we want to start with tonight, because we're going to cover a lot of ground and take you through the college football season. It's never too soon. What really, in Vegas, we have this tradition at the end of May. We had Tony Miller on three Saturdays ago. He's the sportsbook director at the Golden Nugget. And they released the college football games of the year. And all the big shooters are there, including Brad Powers. Saw Brad there. And Brad, you've probably already fired on some of those games, right?
Yep, absolutely.
I'll tell you what, let's dive right in. Who did you grab?
Yeah, I mean, Bernie, you got to fire on those. Because, I mean, you go down there, you got people fly in from all over the country. You can get down as much as $1,000 on a game. And I made two bets. I'll say this, Tony Miller does the best job of anybody of doing these. They're sharp. So I only fire on games. I just don't go there to throw money around. If I think a line is off significantly, and there weren't too many games that were, then I'll fire. Two bets that I did make, end of September game, Nebraska against Ohio State, Nebraska catching 10.
At home, right?
Yep, at home, plus 10 over Ohio State. That line's moved 3 points. So that's been significant. And then the other one I bet, Florida State is a home dog against Syracuse, plus 1.5. Now Florida State is a 3-point favorite.
Right. And we talked the one game I'm on. I typically don't do this. I also like Nebraska. I was fortunate to get him that day, plus double digits. But Brad, let's back up, because you do a tremendous amount of research. There's a lot of science and art that goes into your work, and you're probably up at 3:30 in the morning preparing for all of your shows, and you take this very seriously. And we've got listeners all around the country, and one of the things we try to do on Saturday night is provide usable information that's going to help you make money. That's what we're in this for. And Brad, one of the things you do and devote a lot of time are producing and publishing your power ratings. They form the foundation of your methodology and how you decide who to bet on. Tell our audience what a power rating is. Explain what they mean, the significance in handicapping, and the methodology you use to arrive at power ratings.
Well, you used a key word there a few sentences back, foundation. So if you're looking to dip your toe in the water as far as becoming your own handicapper, the starting off point of any handicap to a game is the power rating. So what's a power rating? Basically, you got individual team power ratings, and what that team power rating is going to say, and you compare it to their opponent, this team would be favored by X amount of points over their opponent on a neutral field. So let's use an example. Say my power rating on Alabama's 100. My power rating on Clemson's a 99. Basically, that would say on a neutral field, Alabama 1 point better than Clemson. Therefore, my projected line off my power rating would have Alabama 1-point favorite.
Good stuff. So I happen to have your power ratings here. What's interesting is you currently have Alabama power rated number one over everybody at 99.78. They dropped 3 points from last year. Clemson, interestingly enough, and they have Trevor Lawrence back, dropped 4. Talk about the factors you considered in arriving at that.
Well, let's start off. So basically what that power rating is saying, Alabama right around 1 point better than Clemson right now. People are going to be shocked. Hey, Brad, I mean, you're a college football expert. Didn't you watch the national title game, 44-16? How can you have Alabama favored over Clemson? Well, I'll say this. Show me your Clemson ticket on that game, because Alabama coming into that game, Bernie, was around a 5.5, 6-point favorite. And I'm sorry, at the end of the season, I don't adjust my power ratings after one game, 5, 6 points. I just don't do that, especially that particular game, which, look, I'm not saying Clemson wasn't the better team. They clearly were the better team, but that was a very misleading game. So after that game, both RJ, myself, Steve Fezzik said, hey, if you had to make the line now, after watching that game, both Fezzik and myself said, yeah, Alabama, small favorite. So we start with that after that result. So you look at both teams returning production when you're coming up with a preseason power rating. Both teams about the same, 12 returning starters for both. Obviously, massive losses for Clemson on the defensive line.
Right.
And Alabama always loses. I mean, they're always losing 10 guys in the NFL, so no different there. Recruiting classes advantage Alabama in that regard. I also think Alabama, even though they have two new coordinators, I think they upgraded a coordinator, offense coordinator and defense coordinator. Add it all up, I think Alabama's just slightly better than Clemson. And I'll say I'm probably a little bit on an island there, because you can bet that hypothetical matchup right now at the Golden Nugget, and Clemson's about a 2-point favorite over Alabama.
And I'm sure a lot of that's driven by public perception and market, correct?
Yeah, I think a lot of it.
I mean, where would the money come in? If that game, you can bet it right now.
And there hasn't been any movement. And if that line is off, then that line's going to move big time. You know, and look, even though I'm slightly higher than Alabama, I'm not running down there to bet Alabama +2 in a hypothetical. Now, if that line had Clemson 3.5, Bernie, then I would make the bet, because it'd be around a key number of 3, but I don't see any movement whatsoever there. And you're right. I think public perception says, hey, Clemson 44-16 over Alabama. Clemson has Trevor Lawrence. Clemson's got to be better than Alabama. I just slightly disagree.
And Alabama has Tua Tagovailoa, so exactly. it's a flip of the coin. We're going to dive into all the power conferences and project before we exit this show, and of course we'll have our best bets at the end. And Sleepy took a very well-deserved night off, and his best bet hit last week, the over in the White Sox-Yankee game. We'll have Brad Powers with the best bet as well. Before we dive into analyzing the 5 power conferences and projecting the final 4, Brad, there are a couple of other power ratings that caught my eye, most notably Michigan and Ohio State. Michigan just a hair over Ohio State, justifiably. I have what I like to look at is continuity. So Michigan does return Harbaugh and Shea Patterson. Meanwhile, Ohio State brings in Justin Fields from Georgia. We really don't know what you get there, and Ryan Day. But yet, they're still power rated fairly equally.
Yeah, I have Michigan about a point better than Ohio State. And for those of you out there listening, saying, well, I mean, Brad, again, you didn't watch the national title game, evidently, because you got Alabama over Clemson. Did you watch the big game in Columbus where Ohio State won 62-39 over Michigan? How can you have Michigan over Ohio State? Ohio State's beaten Michigan 14 of the last 15 years. I'll say this again. Show me your Ohio State ticket from that game last year, because in Columbus, Bernie, in Columbus, Michigan was a 4.5-point favorite.
That blows me away for another reason. Go ahead.
So on a neutral, at that point, we're talking the final game of the regular season. The Vegas market was saying Michigan, at the very least, was at least a touchdown better heading into that game. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that, okay, Ohio State loses a Hall of Fame coach. They lose their, first-round draft pick at quarterback. Michigan's got more returning production to think now Michigan only a 1-point favorite over a neutral over Ohio State. And right now, those lines agree with me. You can bet Michigan, Ohio State right now, and Michigan's about a 3.5.
3.5, yeah.
Yep, 3.5.
And the game
favorite
will be played in Ann Arbor. The reason I scratched my head, we're going to get into the conferences here. I just want to say one thing. A year ago at this time, at the game of the year lines, I believe Ohio State was -6, thereabouts, 4.5.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And the line moves 10 points, and I'm thinking to myself, What in God's green earth would move somebody to make Michigan a – someone would actually fire on Michigan as a road favorite when you could have had him as an almost a touchdown underdog? And we know Urban Meyer's record as an underdog is just spotless, right?
Yep.
Make a long story longer, even if you grab Michigan at the six, it wouldn't have covered anyway. So that's no, why you sure – yeah, right. Yeah. All right, let's dive into this because, you know, college football has become a race – to the Final Four. And we start with the Power Five conferences. I want to start with the Pac-12, Brad, because Oregon is your highest power-rated team, and they improved 6 points over last year. Obviously, a great quarterback in Justin Herbert. Are they your favorite to win the Pac-12?
You know, I'm glad you started with this, because even though I have Oregon as my top-rated Pac-12 team, that's just a power rating on a neutral field. You still plug that into a schedule, that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to have Oregon winning the Pac-12. And hear me out here. I think it's all about Oregon's schedule. Yes, I love the returning production. Justin Herbert, a quarterback who I think is the number one prospect. I love Tua, but I'm as far as the NFL goes, Justin Herbert is your best pro prospect that'll be available for next year's NFL draft. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence, 2 years away for Clemson. But Oregon has struggled on the road, Bernie, the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I look at their road schedule. It starts, they're away from home. In Arlington, Texas, to start off the season, they play Auburn. And then their road schedule in conference, they have to go to Washington, to USC, to Stanford. Yeah, even though I have my highest rated team, I don't have them, you know, winning the Pac-12 this year.
They're a 2-point dog to Auburn on that neutral, and we know Oregon has struggled mightily with the SEC. If they open up with a loss, you know, what does that change for you, or if anything?
Doesn't change much, because I have Auburn about 2.5 points better than Oregon. I think that line is completely fair right now. Doesn't change too much. Now, if they get crushed and it's just like they're severely outclassed and they lose by 3 touchdowns, especially against an Auburn team that might start a true freshman at quarterback, then that would say not only a lot about Oregon, but also the Pac-12. Pac-12 needs a marquee win, Bernie. It's been a long time.
You're so right. I will just say this about that game, because I've already fired on Auburn. Look, I think they're going to run for about 1 million yards that day against Oregon. Just saying. We'll talk about. You mentioned the good point, schedule. Utah is a team that's caught my eye. They're 18th power ranked. They've got the easiest road schedule in the Pac-12 South. Could they upset the apple cart in the Pac-12?
Yeah, and even though I have Utah number 18, even behind Washington,
yes,
Utah would be my team to win the Pac-12 because of their schedule. I mean, their toughest game, they do play Washington, but I think Utah has almost a clear path to the Pac-12 South title. They're better than everybody in that conference. They do have to travel to USC, but, I mean, Utah has had USC's number. If not, watch last year's game if you don't believe me. So I think Utah, especially at the line of scrimmage, I think people forget about Utah. Bernie, last year, played their last 5 games, they didn't have their starting quarterback, starting running back. I'm high on Utah. I think they win the Pac-12.
Got a minute to go before break, but Washington State, great road team last year, 5-1. They beat Wyoming, Oregon State, Stanford, Colorado, and Iowa State all on the road. Now, those teams were barely 500, but can you ever count out Mike Leach?
You can't, and that's one team that he doesn't recruit very well. It's plug and play at the quarterback.
Yeah, no Gardner Minshew this year.
Yeah, but I mean, we didn't think of much of Gardner Minshew this time last year. We thought, oh my
God. He's going to use Carolina, but he hadn't been tested, fair?
Yeah, but that's a plug and play offense. So even though you lose a 4,000 yard passer, I'm not overly high on Washington State, but they'll certainly be a contender in the Pac-12 North.
He's Brad Powers. He's with us the full hour. We're going to give you a college football extravaganza, go through all the Power Five conferences, plus lots of other subject matter. I want to remind you, Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by Discover. Go further than ever with the Discover It Miles card. They automatically match the miles you earn at the end of your first year. So your 35,000 miles could become 70,000. Discover It Miles. Limitations apply. Discover Match for new card members only. Learn more at discover.com/travel. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted, so don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas.
Straight Outta Vegas!
We are back on Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. Welcome to our college extravaganza show. 9 weeks from tonight, we've got Miami and Florida in the Camping World Stadium in Orlando, 7 o'clock Eastern. It'll be here before you know it, and that's why we've got the man with the college knowledge, Brad Powers, with us tonight, breaking it down. Get your pencils and pens ready or your notepads. He's dropping knowledge. Brad, let's move along to the Big 12. Obviously, the big story, Oklahoma gets a kid. What's his name? Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, Jalen
Hurts. I've heard of him. His name rings a bell. So he'll take over at quarterback. And Oklahoma's a machine. And you've got them, obviously, for all the right reasons, as the highest power-rated team in the Big 12. So I'm assuming they're the favorite. I don't want to put words in my mouth.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a kid down in Texas, Tom Herman, who I remember a couple or 3 years ago when he had a Houston team that was only power-ranked about 33rd. They smacked Oklahoma week one. Can Texas challenge Oklahoma? Take it away. What are your thoughts on Big 12?
I think nationally, the narrative is that, yeah, Texas can compete with Oklahoma. And they certainly did last year. They won one of the two meetings and were very competitive in the Big 12 championship game. But I'm going to be contrarian on Texas. And to me, I think a mistake that a lot of people make this time of year is they just focus on who's back at quarterback and other skill positions. And of course, I love Texas's quarterback, Sam Ehlinger. And I think another mistake that people make is, when we last saw Texas, what were they doing? Oh, they're pulling a big upset over Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. Could have been a very disinterested Georgia team. So those two factors there, for me, has Texas overrated. I look at who else is back for Texas, and I'm looking around, and I don't see anybody. Leading rusher's gone. Leading receiver's gone. All seven guys that started on at linebacker and the defensive line, all gone. Zero returning starters on the front seven. That's the type of stuff people don't dive into. And Tom Herman, great underdog coach. The book's on that. He might be the best underdog coach in the country right now. But when expectations are high, a la that Houston team that beat Oklahoma in that opener and probably should have went undefeated, they had no business, you know, losing to Memphis and SMU later in the season.
Right.
And they crushed a Louisville team in the Heisman Trophy year for Lamar Jackson. So I'm selling Texas, Bernie. And if I'm selling Texas, that means I'm really buying Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma goes undefeated and they're in the playoff.
Well, I love Lincoln Riley. He's absolutely done the job, and there's no argument there. Let's move along to the Big Ten. Obviously, you got the Big Two, Ohio State and Michigan. Is this finally the year Harbaugh breaks through? He's got a gauntlet of four games at home. He's got Michigan State at home. He's got Notre Dame at home. He's got Ohio State at home. He's got Iowa at home. I think they spit the bit in one of those games. A couple of tough road games. You've already fired on them against Middle Tennessee State. Brad, I don't think you can pencil in Michigan, but I'm dying to hear your opinion.
Well, pencil, nothing with Sharpie for sure. It has to be the year for Michigan because you mentioned it. They get all those big teams at home. They still got to play Penn State, Wisconsin on the road.
Yes.
That's not going to be
easy. Wisconsin like week three right out of the gate.
Exactly. Now, Wisconsin might have a young quarterback, so that might be advantage Michigan there, but this has to be the year because they get the Buckeyes at home, because they get Michigan State and Notre Dame. And the unfortunate thing was, I think last year's team might have been slightly stronger, but they had to face all three of those teams on the road, losing to Notre Dame and Ohio State bookend. Shea Patterson's back. I'm not a huge Shea Patterson fan. Defense lost a lot of leadership. Devin Bush and Chase Winovich, are you kidding me?
Sean Gary.
But when you add it all up, at home, and my power ratings call for it, this has got to be the year for Michigan. Finally, they break through and win the Big Ten.
You know, I just have no faith in Harbaugh. 3 years ago, they stumbled at Iowa. Last year, they almost stumbled at Northwestern. I think they're going to stumble somewhere, but we're going to save that for a later show. We're going to do another one of these folks in mid-August. One of the teams I think we're both pretty high on, and I want you to tell the folks why, Brad. I think Nebraska, obviously, great hire in Scott Frost. He needed a year to get his feet wet. They struggled on the road last year, but you brought up a good point that a lot of those games were close. Can Nebraska make the quantum leap upward and actually challenge for one of the titles?
I don't think it's such a quantum leap, Bernie. And hear me out. Record-wise, yeah. I mean, they were 4-8 last year, Nebraska. But they, statistically, the Huskers, were more like a 6- or 7-win team. A team that lost 5 games by a touchdown or less. The team at the start of the season that started 0-6, far different than the team that finished 4-2 in their last 6 games. So they were already making major strides at the end of last season. Adrian Martinez back at quarterback,
yes.
One of the most underrated quarterbacks in the entire country. Learn that name, folks. He's only a true sophomore. I would not be a bit surprised when his career is over that he at least has one invite to New York for the Heisman Trophy. That's how good I think he is. They've upgraded the talent level. And I love their schedule this year. They avoid Michigan State, Michigan and Penn State from the East. They get Ohio State at home. They get Iowa at home, Wisconsin at home. And even though I don't have Nebraska as the highest, you know, rated team in the Big Ten West, they have the best schedule. I think Nebraska goes to Indianapolis for the Big Ten championship game.
Couple of other teams that bear mention. I love Pat Fitzgerald at Northwestern. What he gets, they were 6-1 on the road last year, beat Purdue, Michigan State, Rutgers, Iowa, and Minnesota, all on the road. They give everything they have every week, almost beat Michigan, had them beat by a couple touchdowns. Them and P.J. Fleck at Minnesota. You saw what he did at Western Michigan. It wasn't a fluke. He's got resources now at Minnesota. Can Minnesota return? People probably don't remember this. I don't. I was born, but I don't remember it. In the early 60s, Minnesota was a powerhouse, all right? Can Minnesota and or Northwestern be, as Al McGuire would say, the cockroach in the plate of spaghetti that falls in and messes it up for somebody?
I think they can. I mean, I could see any five or six teams in the West coming out of the Big Ten West. I mean, with the exception of probably Illinois and Lovie Smith, everyone else I think has a shot at this. I mean, I have Minnesota in my power rings as a dang near top 30 team. And if you're not paying attention,
right.
He's had two of the youngest teams his first 2 years there in Minneapolis, two of the youngest teams in the country. They started eight true freshmen in the bowl game, a bowl game that they pummeled Georgia Tech in the final game for Paul Johnson. Yeah, this is the best Minnesota team on paper, at least coming in the season, in several years.
And your power rankings or ratings really bear that out, Brad, because they're a slot ahead of Virginia Tech, which I think has a fine club, Oklahoma State, TCU, Virginia. So they're no longer a doormat. They compete. And the thing is, even if Minnesota goes 4-8, doesn't mean you can't cash a ticket. They're going to be a dog in most of their games.
Yeah, they will be. Now, they got a soft non-conference slate, but certainly
right,
when it comes to
right.
The Big Ten West, they're not getting as much publicity as your Nebraskas, your Iowas, and your Wisconsins.
Anybody else in the Big Ten that you think could rise up to scare somebody?
Oh, yeah. Should we tease this? Because I got a best bet on a Big Ten team at the end of the show.
Okay, let's save it.
And they're from a state that you're very familiar from, Bernie.
Oh, I bet I know. Oh, wait. Could this be the Michigan-Michigan State game?
We'll see. That's for the end of the show.
Good stuff, Brad. Until last year, you could have blindly bet Michigan State as the dog the last 9 years, and many of those they won outright. And they were a cover machine until last year.
You are exactly right, Bernie. I'm glad you brought the last 9 years. I got the stats for you. They have covered 65% of the time every time they've been a dog. And Bernie, they've won half of those games outright. So when Michigan State's a dog, the last 9 years, they've won half of their games outright as an underdog. And that's might be one of the reasons why I like Michigan State. We'll just tease it towards the end. Something involving Michigan State at the end of
the
show.
Good stuff. Love it. You're pretty good at this, Brad. He's Brad Powers. I'm Bernie Frauder. We've still got to get to the SEC, the ACC. Brad's going to project his Final Four. We've got best bets at the end of the show and fun for the whole family. But first, let's go to the dulcet tones of Ralph Irvin with the latest.
Well, thank you very much, Bernie, and it was quite a night in L.A. once again. Another walk-off win for the Dodgers as Alex Verdugo hit the second of his two home runs in the bottom of the 11th inning, lifting L.A. to a 5-4 win over Colorado. Meanwhile, San Francisco handed Arizona their sixth straight loss, 7-4, the Giants over the Diamondbacks. Nomar Mazara belted two home runs. Texas, a 6-5 win over the White Sox. And how about Baltimore? They snapped their 10-game losing streak. Jonathan VR with a 3-run homer, and the Orioles beat Seattle 8-4. Online car shopping can be confusing. Not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car. So visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Oakland's won 5 of their last 6. Matt Chapman had a home run and RBI double in their 4-2 win over Tampa Bay. Milwaukee snaps a 5-game losing streak. They beat Cincinnati 6-5, and Cleveland has won 7 of their last 9. They shut out Detroit 2-0. The Yankees, they're red hot. They've won 7 straight. They handed Houston their 7th straight loss. 7-5, New York beats the Astros. Now let's send it back to Vegas and Bernie Fratto.
Ralph, great to have you back with us tonight on Straight Out of Vegas. Most assuredly, you'll provide a ratings boost.
Maybe.
Like watching Ted Williams hit, man. All right. What does it mean, by the way, when Geico says just 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance? It means you probably should have gone to geico.com 15 minutes ago. All right, Bad, let's pick up where we left off. Let's dive into the ACC. There's a little team coached by Dabo Swinney, them and everybody else. Now, Virginia Tech, we mentioned earlier, look, they're always have the potential of being that fly in the ointment, but I think this Clemson team is so loaded. If they weren't going to stumble last year when that third-string quarterback came in and made the miracle pass on 3rd and 15, I just don't see it in the cards. But then again, I didn't see it happening to Golden State either. Brad, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the most overwhelming favorite, not only this year, but I would say in the last, I mean, I can't remember a bigger favorite over the rest of their conference brethren than Clemson. Right now in a neutral field, I think Clemson is at least 17 points better than any other team in the ACC. I would be absolutely stunned if Clemson doesn't win that conference this year. They're just head and shoulders above everybody else. You know, Florida State, I think, has improved. Virginia Tech's improved. But with that being said, I have neither one of those teams in my top 20. There's right. only one team in the top 20 in the ACC, and it's Clemson.
Right, and then you've got Virginia Tech about 33rd. Virginia, I'm with you. You really can't – how do you project when you look at how the – Dabo Swinney reloads? I mean, they didn't have their best defensive lineman in the title game. Their defensive front seven, you've got the freshman wide receiver who's back, Trevor Lawrence who's back. They're going to score points.
Yeah.
And double that, yeah, double that up with the fact they're going to have another stifling defense.
Yep.
All right, we saved what I think will be probably the most talked about for last, and that is the SEC. Because you do start with Alabama, and Nick Saban has a tendency to be in a bad mood when he doesn't win the national championship. You know they're going to be loaded. They got Tua back. Brad, here's what I was looking forward most to talking to tonight, because I'm curious. Can a Dan Mullen at Florida be a fly in the ointment this year? They're clearly going to be improved. They took it out on Michigan in the bowl game. Obviously, the SEC gauntlet's a little different. Now they actually have expectations in Florida, but you've got them power rated 8. That's quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, that was a team that won 10 games a year ago. Yep. Embarrassed Michigan in the bowl game. Felipe Franks is back at quarterback. Yep. They have a dynamic wide receiver core. I think a lot of Dan Mullen. I mean, when you get Mississippi State to number one in the country for about a month in October, you're doing some things right, like he did when he had Dak Prescott about 5 years ago, getting the Bulldogs to number one for a stretch in a college football season. You know what the worry I have, though, Bernie, diving through Florida? They lose 4 starters on the offensive line. They basically have no one. And that's one if they're going to play a Georgia or an Alabama. What separates the SEC from the other conferences in college football? Defensive line.
Yes.
And if that offensive line doesn't gel, I could see them struggling a little bit. But with that being said, I still think it's a 9 or 10 win team and certainly a contender in the SECs. They're one upset away over Georgia from playing in the SEC championship.
World's largest cocktail party. And look, give Florida credit last year. 5-1 on the road. They beat Tennessee, Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, Florida State. Of course, Michigan was on a neutral. But I always bring up road in college football because that's what separates me, in my opinion, the men from the boys. That when you get out of your friendly confines and can you beat a ranked team on the road, not so easy to do. If Florida can do that, they'll be in the conversation. But the other team, more so, that I think really has to be in the conversation is LSU. They look to me on paper to be loaded. And not only do you have them power rated 4th overall, Brad, but their difference in the rating improved 6 points from last year. That's significant.
Yeah, I mean, I think people forget that coming into last year, Ed Orgeron was on the hot seat.
Yes.
And this was an LSU program that had 17 straight seasons of winning 8 or more games. And the season win total last year, Bernie, at this time last year for LSU, was 7. And obviously, the Tigers and Ed Orgeron exceeded expectations. They win 10 games, capped off by a Fiesta Bowl victory. Joe Burrow's back at quarterback.
Yep.
16 returning starters. Love the talent level for them. But I'll say this, Bernie, even though I have them 4th, because of their, I would say, daunting schedule at Alabama, at Texas, they pull Florida from the SEC East, I still only have LSU winning 9 or 10 games this year, even though I have them 4th. Keep in mind, that power rating is not an AP poll ballot. That's just who would be favored over who on a
right. No, it's very scientific, yep. And you're a professional at this.
No, not for you, Bernie. I'm talking to the audience.
Yeah. Brad, I want to talk about you mentioned coaches on the hot seat, and I have to mention one, a guy I like, but at Auburn, is Gus Malzahn on the hot seat? And I'll tell you why, because last year, 2018, I thought was supposed to be, here we go again, Cam Newton rebooted. They'd won 10 games the year before. They'd beaten both Georgia and Alabama. They spit the bit. They lose five conference games. Auburn opens up against Oregon, which we mentioned earlier. They're a two-point favorite and neutral at Arlington, Texas. Can Auburn return to former glory this year? Can they make a legitimate run in the SEC?
It's tough because, again, schedule, I think it's going to get in the way for Auburn. I think they play a top-five schedule in terms of difficulty. Question mark at quarterback. If they figure out the quarterback position, I love the offensive line, all five starters back, like the wide receiver core. They always can find a running back at Auburn on the Plains. They have a dynamite defensive line. If they figure out quarterback, then they can certainly be, I would say, a spoiler more than anything, Bernie. But, I mean, I have them as a top 10 power-rated team.
I think their season, when they go to LSU, they have to win. LSU beat them 22-21 there last year. After that, Auburn seemed to fold. They weren't the same the rest of the year. One minor note, too, Gus Malzahn only 6-13 against ranked opponents in his career at Auburn. So, you know, and Cam Newton ain't walking through that door.
Yeah, and after he signed that big contract extension after beating Alabama a couple years ago, I think he's like 8-8 since that game. So that's not gonna fly in the SEC, especially when you're in the same state as Nick Saban in Alabama.
Now, yeah, and they got serious expectations there, and since they fell short last year, I don't think you can do 2 years in a row. Another coach I'd like you to talk about, Willie Taggart at Florida State. To me, he seems like he's really on the hot seat. When he took over the program for Jimbo Fisher, people thought they'd lead Florida State to a division title. They'd challenge for an ACC championship. Did materialize. They're 5-7. And here's the problem. They looked overmatched and uninspired. Is Willie Taggart, he did great at other schools. Well, you know what he did at lesser schools. Is it a situation, is he the right fit for the job? I don't want to cast aspersions, but the bottom line is, has he reached a situation there where he might not be able to deliver?
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind, Florida State last year, first losing season since the first season for Bobby Bowden.
That's like 1975, right?
76. Very good, Bernie. Yep. So, historically poor season last year. Cannot have a losing season, obviously, this year. I think, you know, they're set up to, they're going to be much improved. No question about it. I think there was some team leadership issues with them. DeAndre Francois, quarterback, he's off the team. They bring in Justin Blackman, who was the starter 2 years ago. I think that they improved to 7-8 wins, and that buys them another year. But certainly, I would say of all the year two coaches, he is on the warmest seat, Bernie.
All right, Brad, very good. What does it mean when Geico says just 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance? It means you probably should have gone to geico.com 15 minutes ago. When we come back, we're going to talk about more coaches on the hot seat, Brad's projection for the Final Four, and best bets. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted, so don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas.
Straight Outta Vegas!
We're back on Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. I want to remind you, Straight Outta Vegas is brought to you by Discover. Go further than ever with the Discover It Miles card. They automatically match the miles you earn at the end of your first year. So your 35,000 miles could become 70,000. Discover It Miles. Limitations apply. Discover match for new card members only. Learn more at discover.com/travel. Brad, one more coach that Indiana had high hopes for, but I think he's very much on the hot seat because he's kind of lumped in with Jeff Brohm and Pat Fitzgerald and PJ Fleck. So there's pressure on Tom Allen in Indiana. He's been competitive against the lower teams in conference, but over the past two seasons, 0-10 against Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, and Penn State, Iowa, and Wisconsin, not good.
Yeah, you mentioned, I think you hit the nail on the head, no signature wins. And going through it, Indiana's been an underdog 12 times under Tom Allen, and they've lost all 12 of those games. So, I mean, just mathematically speaking, you probably should have won a couple of those games. He needs a signature win. And you and I kind of isolated a good spot, Bernie, and I'll let you, I'm not going to steal your thunder here, late in the season for Indiana.
Well, you certainly verified the information for me, but on November 23rd, Michigan visits Bloomington. Indiana will be at home. I got to believe Indiana will be catching 14.
Yeah, yep, that sounds fair.
Throwing that out there. Here's the kicker. The week before, Michigan hosts Michigan State, and the week after, it's the Ohio State game. I don't necessarily like the term sandwich game, but it's a spot play to look at. I know I'll grab Indiana and the points. You know they'll be competitive. It'll be a tall order for them to win, but I won't rule it out.
I love that. I mean, great. I can almost say that's going to be on my card come third week in November.
Absolutely. Brad, let's skip to the Final Four and look ahead. And who do you project? It's end of December, and we're headed into college football playoff, if we want to call it that. The Final Four, who do you project?
Yeah, I'm not going to be breaking news here and going really off a beaten path here. I'm going to start with the two obvious ones, Alabama and Clemson. Alabama's going to be a double-digit favorite in all 12 of the regular season games, Bernie. Toughest game for them will be in the SEC title game against maybe Georgia or Florida. Clemson, even a bigger favorite over the rest of their conference. I think those two are shoe-ins. Then followed by, and this might be a little bit of a surprise, Georgia.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
I think Georgia's going to be favored in all 12 of the regular season games. And I think this year, if they lose another close one to Alabama, I think at 12-1, they might get the benefit of the doubt this year. Final team for me, Bernie, Oklahoma Sooners. Again, another team that's going to be favored in all 12 games. And I like Jalen Hurts at quarterback to replace Kyler Murray.
I love Jalen Hurts, and I love Lincoln Riley and what he'll do with him. But let's backtrack to Georgia, because I really believe with what Kirby Smart has done, he's basically become Alabama West. He was a Nick, you know, Saban protege. Georgia is the one team that appears to have Alabama's number. They're just not intimidated by them. As a matter of fact, if they didn't have to play the fourth quarter of their football games, they'd beat Alabama every time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they're better than Alabama. They certainly are for three quarters. I mean, they're certainly not intimidated, but something they can't get over the hump.
Right.
And something tells me, even though I think Alabama's better than Georgia, sooner or later, when you're playing a bunch of close games, the brakes are going to fall your way, and this might be the year it falls.
We're going to do this show again probably August 17th. Mark your calendars. We had a great before-air discussion talking about the best teams. Did you take umbrage with the fact that Georgia was left out last year?
No, I didn't. I mean, they got crushed by LSU on the road. I mean, you got to put away Alabama. You're up two touchdowns in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
Put them away.
We're in agreement. All right. So, based on the teams you mentioned, Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, and Oklahoma, which I don't argue with. I think there's a probability it's those four, but you never know. Teams have to stay healthy, and you never know what can happen. That means the Big Ten's left out, Nicole. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, and that would be what, third straight year for the Big Ten being left out? Yeah, that's not going to fall too well. But, I mean, are you counting on Michigan, Bernie?
No, I'm not.
And I think Ohio State's got too many question marks. A new quarterback, they got to replace a Hall of Fame head coach. So I don't think this is the best year for Ohio State. I just think the conference is getting too competitive. Kudos to the Big Ten. They went out and hired a bunch of really good coaches.
Oh, my goodness, yes. That's my running joke in Michigan. Jim Harbaugh is the fourth best coach in the Big Ten West. The fourth best coach. We can talk about that another time. But you know what? Let's just unpack this for just a second, Brad, because this implies that Michigan's going to stumble somewhere. Who are they going to stumble against? Is it going to be home against Michigan State? Home against Ohio State? Is it against Penn State, Wisconsin? Two tough road games. Might it be Iowa?
Yeah,
might it be Notre Dame?
Well, you know, I'll even mention Notre Dame because the week before, Michigan's at Penn State and Notre Dame's off a bye. And Notre Dame's at a really disadvantage this year where they face seven teams that are coming off a bye. The only time all season where Notre Dame has the rest advantage is that Michigan game. Yeah, I think Michigan trips up at least once, if not twice, Bernie.
Yeah, we're in total agreement. Based on your projections, and they're probably going to be very accurate, the Pac-12 once again left out looking in the cold. And, that's not going to sit well with Chris Peterson and the boys. If anybody can break through in the Pac-12, who might it be?
I actually think it'll be Utah this year.
I'm with you on Utah.
Yeah, I don't think they go undefeated, but I could see Utah being 11-1 in the regular season. I think they'll only be an underdog in one game, that's at Washington.
Right. Very true. All right, everybody's favorite part of the show. Let's make sure we get this in. Best bets. You've been listening to Brad Powers, the man with the college knowledge. He is here every day, 3 to 4. Pacific, 6 to 7 Eastern on Straight Out of Vegas with RJ Bell, Steve Fezzik, and Brad Powers. And again, we are going to repeat the show closer to college football season, probably the weekend of August 17th. Did you have one or two best bets tonight?
One.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to go season win total. I'm going to go to the Big Ten. I'm going Michigan State over 7.5 wins. Hear me out for Michigan
State. No, I'm with you. Go.
Oh, I love the returning experience. 17 returning starters. Here's a team that underachieved last year. Well, there was a reason why. They had like 50-plus starts lost to injury last year. Their quarterback, Brian Lewerke, struggled. Why? Mm-hmm. He was injured. He had a shoulder injury. Pre-shoulder injury, he completes 60% of his passes. After that, 43%. Probably the best defensive front in all of college football coming back. And I like the schedule, too. I am favored by double digits in seven games. Oh, that's pretty easy. And again, we already talked about, you and me, before the show, Michigan State as an underdog has won like half their games. So it's not out of the realm of possibility they could steal a game at Ohio State or at Michigan. Give me Michigan State over 7.5 wins. Actually, I'm favored in 9 games this year, Bernie.
D'Antoni is amazing as an underdog, especially against Michigan. And I'll tell you, if they had any kind of offense last year, they might have beat Michigan last year. That was a dead nuts game until into the second half. All right, my best bet is World Cup soccer. The USA has advanced to the round of 16 against Spain. Spain has never once advanced this far. It's going to be a hard-fought, low-scoring game. It's got 1-0, 2-0 written all over it. The total is 2.5. It's shaded now. It's probably -120. Get on it when you can. The game won't kick off till Monday, 9 Pacific. But I think it's a solid play, and a lot of sharp, respected money has come in. Brad, thanks so much for joining us tonight. We could have done 3 hours standing on our head.
Thank you so much for having me, Bernie. Look forward to talking to you again at the end of the summer.
Great information. I'm Bernie Fratto. You've been listening to Straight Out of Vegas. We'll see you again next Saturday night. Good luck with all your bets. And, you know, 9 weeks from now, college football is going to be here before you know it. And in the coming weeks, you've still got the Major League All-Star Game, all kinds of stuff, the NBA Summer League, too. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Straight Out of Vegas. I'm Bernie Fratto. Next up, the man from Opryland Hotel. It's the Jason Martin Show.
Straight Out of Vegas!